You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 46 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, November 19th, 2008. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are your hosts for a weekly conversation about technology and ministry. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. How are you today?
I'm fine. This show actually acknowledges the fact that we're now in the holiday season. We saw some snow flurries, so that's also a cue on our side that, yeah, we're entering. And I try and resist, you know, all the glitz and stuff that goes on with the stores and television commercials as long as possible. But with Thanksgiving next week and our subject matter of today, we're going to talk about event-focused promotions. I think we have to say we're in the holiday season.
I agree, Martin, and I got a little taste of it this past weekend. I was able to attend the Western Regional Choral Fest. Hopefully a lot of our listeners tuned in on streams and watched as well, but a taste of heaven, they called it, and it truly was an amazing concert, and they gave us a little bit of seasonal music in that as well.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't have the numbers yet on how many viewers we had, but I think we mentioned last week we had about 300 for the one that was held at Illinois Lutheran in Creighton. I would imagine that there were even more for this one because there were more schools there. I think there were probably 12 or 14 schools there. So that's great that you had a chance to get over there. It's not far from your home, is it?
That's right. Just 15 minutes away from all the good stuff going on in New Ulm, and got to hook up with the Wells Tech girls who were streaming the service.
Oh,
that's
right.
It was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right into the discussion topic of today, and that is, as I mentioned, event-driven promotion, especially the use of our websites to do that. And that's maybe a little bit different model than a lot of our churches and schools are used to following. But in essence, what we're talking about is the focus on events that are going on within your church or school and how you essentially modify your web presence around those.
That's right. I think a traditional way to think of a church or school website would be here's the map to our location. Here's our phone number and email address. Our service times are at such and such. You know, just some real basic kind of navigational information, not really about what's going on in the congregation or school, but more how you can contact us and that kind of thing. So what you're talking about today, I think, Martin, is shifting that focus a bit.
Yep, absolutely. And there are a lot of considerations, and some of these principles that we're going to talk about apply across the board, whether you're talking about promoting an event on your website or just kind of business as usual. And one of those big ones has to do with audience. Know your audience. And in order to know that, you have to kind of be very intentional about it. You have to identify who your, and this I'm going to use a marketing term here, who your target audience or target market is. Now that may sound a little bit strange in the context of a church or a school, but really, whenever you put together any kind of promotional material, you have to kind of keep that in mind.
That's right. Being very user-focused and user-friendly is the key to a good website and good, you know, promotional material in general. You've got to put on that hat and wear that hat of the user of your information and kind of envision what they're looking to find out and how you can enhance their understanding of what you're doing in your congregation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because of that, I think sometimes you have to make concessions when you're developing your web presence, because your web ministry, as it were, may not be able to reach or be all things to all people. Obviously, not everybody is on the web. Not everybody is going to visit your website. You know, maybe there are alternate strategies. Maybe the youth that you're trying to reach aren't going to come to your website at all. That's just not what they do. But that would maybe be a good indicator to kind of visit some technologies that we've talked about in the past, you know, like getting on Facebook or MySpace or some of those other places where that audience is. So you've got to kind of ask the tough questions. Who is likely to visit this site, and then build around that. So based on your answer to those questions, then the next step would be determining what media and what frequency is optimal for your target audience. So how do you do that? I think you have to ask the questions. And in order to do that, I think you need more than just yourself thinking about it. So one thing that I've always recommended that churches and schools do is form, you know, the dreaded committee, you know, that's going to sit around and actually talk and think about these things.
Right. Putting together a couple of brains with different perspectives is going to really enhance your communication plan, because everybody's going to have a different insight into what's going to reach that target audience, you know, and it's really going to be a lot better planned if you can have different voices that craft that.
Right. And if you formalize and intentionalize that approach, where that committee meets regularly and you have a specific agenda and you have objectives and you're trying to think through, is this working, then I think you're better able to understand what I would call failures. So obviously you're not going to hit the mark every time, but unless you're actually trying to examine what you're doing and then evaluating the results, you're likely to repeat those failures over and over or spend a lot of time on useless effort. So I think it's important that that committee be there and that committee intentionalize the process of, you know, what are we doing here on the web? And especially with event-driven promotion, you have to kind of evaluate it event by event. Did we hit the market that we thought we would hit? Were those people that we thought would visit the website visiting it? And was there a return on that investment? Did they actually come to the event? And you need some way to measure that. So I think, go ahead, Sally.
Well, I was just going to say, and one important thing is how much did you put into that? How often did you hit them with that message in different formats and things like that? And and was that effective? Are you using the right channels, the right media to make it happen?
The rule, the 6x3 rule, I like to refer to, and that's kind of a marketing mantra, the 6x3 rule. Six contacts spaced by 3 weeks is really what we're trying to subscribe to here. And that means that, you know, as a general rule of thumb, if you want somebody to remember an event or remember the message that you're trying to get across to them, you need to reach out to that same audience in six discrete contacts over a 3 week period. So, you know, essentially two times a week or however you want to space it out, the 6x3 rule. And in order to do that, you've got to kind of use all kinds of different channels. Even though we're talking about web-driven marketing, I think you have to kind of include all the appropriate or different channels at your disposal within the church or school setting.
And even without the web in play, I think we all realize that we've done that over time in our congregations by putting things in our bulletin as well as our newsletter, maybe a special advertisement in the newspaper or a radio spot. So the web just adds another dimension or another set of channels that you can use to get that message out.
Right. So let's go through some of those channels. You mentioned a couple. Now, obviously, the Sunday morning bulletin is a no-brainer, right? Almost everybody has one. Your promotion, your event is obviously advertised in there anyway. You know, so you've got a, and when we talk about events, it could be almost anything, right? It could be an Advent series or theme, Lenten series theme, VBS, a Friendship Sunday, obviously Easter, Christmas, some of the, you know, some of the stuff that obviously comes up in the course of a church year. It could be almost anything. It could be a sermon series that's just covering a few Sundays over the summer. It could be a Bible class series, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that's newsworthy is probably what I would classify as an event. So that's going to be in the bulletin. We talked about the newsletter. Some of the more traditional mechanisms that aren't web-based would be your newspaper, right?
Right.
And Sally, you use radio advertising.
We do. We have our principal actually promotes the school through a radio spot on a weekly basis here in Sleepy Eye. So
okay.
All those traditional methods work.
And now with the advent of the web and more people getting on the web, you have other channels at your disposal. You have obviously podcasts like we have, if you do one. You obviously have your website. You have online calendars. You have blogs. The list is growing. We've talked about Twitter before. There's all kinds of ways that you can kind of get the word out. And all of those are channels, and all of those may reach different audiences.
That's right. We here in Sleepy Eye are having the kids do a monthly podcast, and it's kind of an event-driven podcast as well. For instance, in December, our podcast focus is going to be talking about their children's service that's coming up on Christmas Eve, you know. And so we're going to cross-promote that. Certainly, it's going to be on our website, but it's going to be in our bulletin and our newsletter as well. So all these channels can cross over as well.
Right. So let's focus now on the website, how the website can and, in my opinion, should change based on the events happening in your church. A good rule of thumb and something that I preach quite often when I'm in front of workshops or people asking about, you know, what should our strategy be, is think event, not institution. So when you're building your homepage and as you're maintaining your homepage, it should be event driven, not institution driven. So let's talk about what that doesn't mean first. That means that you shouldn't simply, as we said at the top of the show, you know, plop a picture of your church, service time map, done. Never have to go back to that web page because church address has not changed, service times have not changed, our Bible class is still at the same time. Everybody's got everything they need to know if they want to visit. That's thinking institution, not event. So how does that change, Sally, in your mind if you kind of flip-flop that, turn that on its end, and think event, not institution?
Good question, Martin. I think one thing that it becomes is it becomes more personal, more people-oriented. It it has a face to it. It has a theme to it, that kind of thing that communicates more about, you know, what's going on in the congregation, not just where the congregation is located.
Yep. So let's give an example. One that I usually point people to is for Granger Community Church, not Wells, and obviously they would teach some different things than good Lutheran theology. But I think what they've done there with their website is something that we should all of us take a look at and see if it makes sense for our particular websites. If you go to gccwired.com, and they have a whole ministry about wired churches and so on and so forth. But what I really like about their site is that you go there, and the first thing that you see right in the middle of the site is all the events happening. And they've divvied it up by either time or people type. So they have a section at the very top that says weekend. So if you click on weekend, you're going to see everything that's going on the weekend, specifically their services, and the theme for the service. So whether that's a sermon series, and they're kind of series-based, we could do the same in our churches if you're very church calendar or church year-based or pericope-based. You could have actually a different message up there. So at least the sermon theme and the theme of the service, you know, could be advertised there, so that when people come, there's something different every single week, and you're really talking about what's going on there that's different than the week before. And then as you go across the board, they have a midweek section, they have a children's section, a student section, and a campus section. And then down the left side, if you go there, all kinds of things to do. Connect to a group, volunteer, find an event, read blogs, subscribe, online giving, get help, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they have the who are we and what are we and all that stuff there as well. So I think that's a great example of kind of making a centerpiece of your site about the event of a particular church. Because the church is all about these little mini events. Every Sunday morning is an event, right?
That's right. And we still want people to be able to find us. We need that map
absolutely.
To our church and that kind of thing. But it's not the focus of the website. It's in the fine print so they can find it if they need it.
Yep. So technologically, how does this happen? It's not as hard as you think. If you know, many of our listeners are Final Web users. Very easy to do that in Final Web with a dynamic page. In fact, you can do all of these ahead of time. So if you've got a little bit of ingenuity and creativity, you essentially make a new dynamic page, which could emulate some of the static stuff that's on your website, church times and those kinds of things. But the center of that page, that dynamic page, could be whatever event is coming up next week. And, you know, as soon as that week hits, you just make that your default homepage, and voila, you've got a different look that's advertising the event.
And I really like the idea of making it pretty dramatically different, mm-hmm. so that if your web page has normally got a red color theme to it or whatever, that this page is blue or purple or green or something that really draws the eye, makes people realize, hey, something special is going on here. It's not going to last forever, and I should really pay attention to this.
Yep. And it's really not a whole site overhaul each time. It's just, you know, a couple components, and you can rotate through those components, but make sure that you're consistent. I mean, you don't want a dramatic makeover every Monday morning, for instance. It just should be a spot that's going to change on a pretty regular basis, that's going to let somebody know that something's different. So, like you said, Sally, it's not just a line or two. You know, there's a block there that the picture changes and the tone changes to match the season. So when you go from Epiphany to Lent or whatever, it's important that is a dramatic change, but you can do that obviously with the imagery that you're using. And we've talked about places to get good imagery in the past, iStock Photo. There's lots of good stuff on the web, even our own Inspire series on Wells.net, all kinds of photos that you can use that would kind of give the viewer a sense that, hey, something's changed here. There's a new event coming.
Right. Just, going beyond the traditional brick and mortar institution and making it a lot more personal and a lot more oriented to the actual goings on in the congregation is going to make your website visitor feel like they're more a part of what's there or be excited to be a part of what's going on in your church.
Mm-hmm. So make no mistake, there's a little more work involved with this approach, obviously, to leave your website homepage the same week after week is obviously the path of least resistance. But I think you will begin to attract more visitors to your site and, Lord willing, more visitors to your congregation. Maybe, and this is not just outreach, this is inreach too. I think when members start noticing that your website's changing every week, they're going to start coming back there and say, hey, I wonder what's coming up next week. And the better job that you can do with that, obviously the more interested they might be. And this is not just about services, but, you know, Bible classes and so on and so forth. I think that the great mechanism to focus on the events that are happening within your church or school. And schools can do this too.
Absolutely.
All right. So give that a shot, and we'd love to hear how you are doing it. I don't see a lot of examples of this in Wells, unfortunately, and there's no reason that we can't. All of us have events that we can focus on. We just need to intentionalize the process. We mentioned FinalWeb in that little discussion about changing your front page, and fortunate for us, we were able to get Brian Schaefer of FinalWeb on again. He was, by the way, the first interview that we ever had on the very first WellsTech podcast. We asked him to come back because there's some new stuff that's being rolled out on FinalWeb, and we wanted to have him on to share some of those things for our listeners. So let's listen to our interview with Brian Schaefer of FinalWeb. Joining us today, we are happy to have Brian Schaefer of FinalWeb, who is our Wells web hosting partner. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's great to be speaking with you guys.
Brian, you were the first interview on the Wells Tech podcast. Now we're going to bring you back. And one of the reasons we wanted to have you back is there have been some exciting changes to the FinalWeb program and the Wells relationship. So, Brian, maybe you can give us the blow-by-blow as to what we've kind of decided to how we can improve the FinalWeb product for our users. And I think there's probably many users that are listeners at this point. We have over 400 subscribers at this point. Is that still the case?
That sounds correct, yes.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about what's new.
Certainly. Well, in taking a look at things and trying to make sure that the product stays competitive and remains to be a great deal and the best deal for Wells churches, we decided to make a few changes. And the first of which is we have upgraded the amount of space allotted for each website. It used to be 700 megabytes for storing your media files and your, you know, audio, video, images, things like that, and documents. And that has now been upgraded to 2 gigabytes out of the box. And that's not just for new customers, but also for existing customers. So if you're a current customer and you look at your drive space allotment, you should notice that it has been bumped by 1,300 megabytes from wherever it was.
Awesome. That should allow for, you know, a lot more audio and video or media uploads that I'm sure that a lot of our congregations were interested in doing.
Certainly. You know, as the years have gone on since we started the project, interest in video has certainly increased. Audio was already popular and remains popular, but certainly video carries with it a little bit more of a data requirement. So,
right.
So hopefully this will do a good job as to keeping churches up to speed. And then for those who still want to increase space, we're changing the pricing structure a little bit. It used to be $5 per month per additional gigabyte, and it's now going to be $3 per month per additional gigabyte, and that will be changed in current customers as well.
Cool. Very good. And how do they make that happen?
They don't need to do anything. We'll go ahead and automatically adjust their pricing.
No, but if they want to do that, do they just call support there and ask for it, or how does that happen?
Yes, that's correct. They would just call our tech support line, and the number's posted there on the website, or they could post in a ticket and just say they'd like to increase their space, and we'll go ahead and do that for them. It's a real quick process.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay.
Okay.
So, Brian, I understand that there's also some limitations on bandwidth usage. Have you upped those as well?
We have. We've increased the bandwidth. It used to be posted at 50 gigabytes per month of total transfer, and now we've increased that to 100 gigabytes per month. And, you know, in truth, we don't have any churches that are even coming close to that. But, you know, we have competitors who post a lot of different values out there, so we just want to let them know that they're able to go very high and very fast with us as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Great. What else is new?
Well, on the other front, well, a couple of other things. First of all, let's talk about the calendar. You may have noticed that about 2 months ago, your calendar received a significant upgrade. We have redesigned the calendar interface to try to add more features, be a little more aesthetically pleasing, and it also provides us with a lot of flexibility behind the scenes in the code to make upgrades in the future. The primary upgrades are, it's an Ajax-based calendar, so when you click on different items or events or days, etc., it's not a total screen refresh. It's now just an Ajax JavaScript-based refresh, so it's a little bit faster on the load time. Aesthetically, you also now have some different tabs up at the top, which looks nice, and they give you some functionality to have a monthly view, a weekly calendar view, a daily view, and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more of an Outlook appearance, if you will,
right?
And hopefully some more functionality there.
I think that's a big win for churches and schools, because the calendar really is, for many of them, is a centerpiece to their web presence. That's where members go, school parents go, et cetera, to find out what's going on in the church. So it's important that that work as well as possible.
Certainly. And it makes a lot of sense to keep that part of the program upgraded. Sally, did you have a question there?
Well, I was just going to add, just kind of having my hand on the pulse of the users with the weekly tips and tricks that I email out, I got just rave reviews back from everyone about the calendar upgrade. So I think the users are really happy with it, and that translates into happy, website visitors as well.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. A couple of other things that they might not have noticed yet, because these are a little bit more recent since that first launch of the new calendar. We have also added a export feature for those who maintain their calendar online but would like to be able to import that into Microsoft Outlook or other programs. It's a simple export. It spits it to a tab-delimited text file, and it can be really easily imported into Microsoft Outlook and to other programs as well. So that's something that will hopefully be helpful. And we also improved the data validation. One of the problems that we've had on the calendar is people entering, you know, dates that were kind of formatted incorrectly or times that were formatted incorrectly, and it sometimes has caused some user confusion. So there's some there's some better data validation checking to make sure that those kinds of things don't happen as well.
So if they use a different or AM, PM a little bit differently, and they put some, you know, periods in there or capitalization, whatever, it checks for that kind of stuff?
it's checking for some of those things, and this is also something they're still working on. The primary error we were seeing were people used to be able to actually enter dates where the event ended before it started.
Okay.
So that caused an obvious layout error on the calendar, and it's real easy to fix, but it was kind of confusing to see what had happened. So that error is no longer active. And then some of the other things, like I believe with the time, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but I believe that the time error will, if you format that incorrectly, it'll pop up in a more user-friendly way and let you know exactly what you did wrong. So,
great. Very helpful.
And then one last thing that we're working on with the calendar is the ability to edit a recurring event. Currently is a little bit frustrating. When you create an event in the calendar that's recurring, it actually adds an individual record for every single date and instance of that event. And then if you go back to edit it, you're editing just that one individual record, and there's no real way to edit the whole entire event.
Right.
So that's something that will be remedied very soon. We have the solution to that, and that's going to be released within the next few weeks.
Very good. Well, Brian, one of the things that gets a lot of press or coverage out there, especially with our web hosting community, is the variety of templates that are available for the final web system. They're all so professional. They look awesome, and you can pretty much go with any color scheme or whatever to match your congregation or school wishes. So it's always exciting because you guys are constantly adding new templates and that kind of thing. But I understand you have an announcement for us today that kind of really rocks our template world. So tell us about your template changes.
We do. This is an exciting change that we've wanted to make for a long time. And
that's a pretty big buildup, by the way, Brian, so this better be good.
It is a big buildup, but I think we can accommodate it.
Okay.
Basically, what we've done, in order to increase the number of templates that we have, well, if you can imagine this, if you're a web developer, you know what it takes to build a website. And you know it's a little bit more complex, significantly more complex, to build a website for someone in a way that they can manage it and update it as well. And so that difficulty being present, it's been complicated to quickly release templates because we're always having to add in exceptions and rules and make sure that when the users go to manage their data in there, the template doesn't get broken or messed up. And so that's releasing templates has been a slower process than we'd like it to be. But to remedy that, we have created what we're calling the template generator. And this is something that will be used by our staff, and it can be used by folks at Wells. It can be used by our customers individually to actually create their own template in HTML if they have those skills and that ability, or someone in their church who can do that, and to integrate it right into the final web system. So, in other words, you could create your own web page using FrontPage or Dreamweaver or however you prefer to do that, and then you would insert little tags, like a tag that represents the body content of your site, or a tag that represents the top menu or the header of your site, and you would upload that HTML file with, you know, associated style sheets and images that you have, and the template generator will automatically turn that into a usable template for you on final web systems. So now you have almost total customizability of the system.
Now, what's the almost part then? What can't you do?
Well, the only limitations are that if you use Final Web, you kind of understand that, you know, there are certain areas of the page where, let's say, you have a body content area. Now, this would be the area where, for instance, on the audio download page, you can choose from your different files to download, or on the calendar page, that's where the calendar shows up. And it's always kind of shaped like a rectangle.
Right.
So what you're not going to be able to really violate the shape of that rectangle, but what you can do is frame it in any number of millions of different ways,
mm-hmm.
you know, however you want to. So those tags will be what they are and represent those objects as they are. You can't really violate those objects necessarily, but you can, position them on the page. Now, we did create a good deal of flexibility with different areas, like if you're going to use a top menu and you want to have, the slideshow changing in and out like it does often on the top menus with the flash bar, you'll have the flexibility to change the shape of that, and you'll have the flexibility to alter the menu options and how they look and even put graphical overlays over those things. So So you can do just about anything you want with it. You know, because of some of the shapes of our objects, there might be a little bit of limitation there, but it's going to be extremely flexible.
Mm-hmm. So when they upload this, is this just for their purposes, so it only appears as a template to their account, or are these shareable?
Well, that's something that we're looking into. We don't want to give the ability to share it by default across the board, because obviously someone would want to be able to create just their own custom look.
Sure.
But if they want to be able to share it with another customer, that potential is certainly there. So mm-hmm. we're not sure exactly how we're going to work that. But with Wells, I would imagine that we will have some capability for sharing across the Wells organization.
Yeah, maybe create some kind of clearinghouse so that we can get them up there. And you know, if somebody's willing to do that, I think that would be great to expand the pool of templates. I think we get that question a lot. How can we not look like the next guy? And
exactly.
this is definitely a way to do that. So how customizable can this be? Do you give the ability to change CSS at this point, change typeface and those kinds of things too?
Yes, they will be able to do all of those things. We're going to release the names of the styles that are used throughout the system, so they'll be able to know, well, hey, if I change this style, it'll go ahead and modify the way all these typefaces look. And certainly within their HTML, they're going to implement CSS also, and they'll obviously be able to use CSS to change the appearance of that. So it's going to be extremely customizable. And the side menu as well, you're going to be able to choose from a number of different features. And if you want certain bullet graphics, you can upload those things and how you want those things aligned and how big they are, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think the requests that I get from churches are exactly those. They've got maybe some technical talent in-house, and they would love to be able to do a little bit more customization than what they can now, which is essentially, you know, color changes and those kinds of things. So that's awesome. So when is this available now, or when is it going to be available?
It's being used by our staff right now to generate templates and just to kind of finalize the process, particularly with the Flash side of things. Development gets a little bit complicated, but we've almost got it honed down. Within the next couple of weeks, we're going to release it to a few resellers, to Wells as well, as far as headquarters, and you all can take a look at it and play with it and begin generating templates if you like, and then we'll go ahead and release it to the actual customers. I would estimate that should happen within a month's time. There's all of the major hurdles we have overcome at this point, so there's not a lot holding us back anymore. It's been kind of a long project, but it's going very well.
Cool. Nice Christmas present for our users.
Definitely. You know, and one of the big advantages of this as well is how much easier it will be for our staff to generate templates. You know, if you're listening to this and you think, well, hey, this doesn't really impact me because I don't have that kind of programming skill, and we don't really have somebody in our church. We're a small church, and no one's stepped up and being willing to do that kind of thing. This still does impact you because we're going to be able to create templates a lot faster. We have a number of folks in house, even tech support guys, and other personnel that we know that can create HTML files and designs very easily, but haven't been able to integrate them with our content management structure. But this foregoes that whole problem, and so there won't be an issue there anymore. It's a real fast process.
Very good.
So, Brian, that's a perfect lead-in. I was thinking that exact thing. For those that aren't as technically inclined, maybe not just with templates, but with other things they'd like to see happen on their site, I oftentimes refer them to your tech staff, because if they don't see it there, that doesn't mean it can't be done. Isn't that correct?
That's absolutely right, and that's what our staff is there for. There's a lot of flexibility in our software, and there's a lot of willingness on our part that some companies don't necessarily have. When someone calls us with an idea, we make a log of it, and if it's a great idea, we might just implement it right there. If it's something that we've been asked for a few times, we'll almost certainly implement it. And so it's always good to call us with suggestions and questions. There may just be a way to do it that you haven't found yet, and it could be a two-minute conversation that gets your site looking the way that you want it to.
Wonderful. Just another reason that I think we enjoy the relationship that Wells has with Final Web, because your willingness to do that. And you listen, and I think all the churches and schools that use the product benefit from that. So that's very good. Anything else you want to share before we sign off?
Yeah, briefly, just a couple of other features to maybe keep your eye on if there's something that you might find useful. We, if your church uses a shopping cart, if you sell books or any kind of tape resources, we did make a recent modification that's pretty significant that allows for the entry of the of an inventory quantity. Mm. The cart didn't used to track quantities, and it's a lot more user friendly if it if it keeps track of how many you have on hand. So that's a nice upgrade. Something else that churches might not necessarily find useful, but if the admins are interested, we've recently launched a reseller package that gives an admin the ability to create a final website and actually sell final websites from that site and make a 25% commission on anything that they sell of $30 or greater value. We get this question a lot, actually, and people ask us. They say, "Hey, we want to, refer someone to your product, and how can we do that? Is there any kind of finder's fee or anything?" So, we thought this would be kind of a good way in a slow economy for us to make some money and for us to help other people make some money and provide people with good websites. So, you can learn more about that if you log in to if you go to finalweb.com, click customer login at the top. And log in and then choose reseller options. It kind of explains the program, and that might be something that some of the admins out there might find useful.
Very good. Brian, thank you so much for the update. I'm sure that a number of our churches will be looking forward eagerly to that template generator and just watch the regular updates that Sally sends out for more information on that as well. So, again, thanks for your time, Brian.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Have a blessed Thanksgiving as well.
All right. You guys too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So thank you very much to Brian for coming on again. He's always a great interview. He's very knowledgeable about their system. For those of you that don't know what Final Web is and want to learn a little bit more, we have a webpage devoted to that on Wells.net. If you go to Wells.net/jump/web-hosting, you'll find out all about the program. It's something that we developed about 3 years ago. Been very popular. About a third of all of our congregations use the system. And it's got some great features, especially to allow you to kind of focus on that event stuff, but all kinds of other good stuff. This whole template builder sounds interesting, Sally.
Yeah, I'm excited to get my hands on that one for sure.
We get a lot of requests for that. So thanks again to Brian. Up next, our picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick this week?
Well, this week I'm going to talk a little bit about fair use and copyright. Kind of going back to the beginning of the Wells Tech podcast as well, we had an interview series with Harvey Dunn, and he talked a lot about copyright issues on our church websites and things like this. But I have a pick today, just recently released from the Media Literacy Foundation about copyrighted material in the classroom and fair use of that. And I'm going to point you to, it's a PDF document, a little bit lengthy, about 20 pages long. But basically, they give you 5 principles. They help you understand how to properly use copyrighted materials and what some limitations are associated with each of the principles. Now, if I were just going to go and play a video in my classroom, that wouldn't be any big deal, because playing it in the classroom is about like playing it at home. The copyright permissions are there for viewing something. But when we get into cutting up things and modifying things that were designed,
remixing, mashups,
exactly, which is all possible now, and a lot more people are interested in doing those kind of things to fit their purposes. That's when we get into fair use laws. And so this is a really good explanation of the fair use laws and practical applications, especially in the classroom setting. And the classroom setting includes the Bible class setting as well. So these things apply for pastors who are teaching Bible class as well, and catechism, obviously. And just a companion to that is I'm going to send you a link to a really cool mashed up video about fair use that was done by putting together a lot of different Disney clips. So not only are they talking about fair use, but they're really exercising it to its fullest by using this mashup technique. And you'll have to watch it if you haven't seen it before. It's circulated on the internet for a while, but it's called A Fairy Use Tale, and I think you'll enjoy that video as well.
Yeah, it's very cool. My pick kind of takes that example. That's a great example, Sally, of maybe a use for my pick of the week, which is a website, a Web 2.0 app, called Vixy, VIXY.com. With the advent of YouTube and all the online videos that are out there, especially in Flash format, sometimes the frustration is if you want to use those for educational purposes, for instance, you have to be online. And you can't always count on being online, let's say in a classroom setting or whatever. So you want to play a video, or you want to play a clip of a video that's on YouTube or some other location in a Flash format, and it's not downloadable. Vixy is a tool that allows you to essentially record that and download it and play it. So you type in the URL. Let's say it's a YouTube URL. Maybe like the fairy use tale that you talked about, Sally. You type in that URL, and Vixy essentially downloads it and makes it into any format that you would choose, an AVI file, an MOV file, an MP4 file that you can download to your local computer, and then offline you can play it. Now, you have to obviously make sure you're not violating copyright rules or those kinds of things, or even fair use rules. But this is a great way to kind of download, play, for those purposes as well. So Vixy.com is the website. I've downloaded a number of these. It works really, really well. Very little degradation of quality, and I think very, very usable. I've been searching for a tool like this for a long time because I'll do a lot of workshops and presentations, and I can't always ensure that I'm on a good high-speed connection to play these videos online. So I've been kind of embarrassed, you know, once in a while where I can't get online and I can't play these. Because typically what YouTube will allow you to do is use an embed code, like say in a PowerPoint or something like this. This allows you to actually download it. So very cool tool.
Great, Martin. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure. Up next, our Wells.net feature of the week. Sally, what are we featuring today?
Well, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that it is getting into the Advent and Christmas season, and I wanted to point our listeners to Streams. Our radio channel has added a new seasonal channel that allows you to listen to just Advent and Christmas music from Wells artists. So if you go to Streams and click on the radio tab, you'll see a channel in the left column that says seasonal, and you can just rock out to all kinds of great Christmas music.
And it's not all rock either.
No, it isn't. It's beautiful and just great background music if you're working during the day or whatever and want to turn on some beautiful music, then you can find it there on Streams. So check it out.
Awesome. Alongside that, I just wanted to let our listeners know a little bit of news about our ShopWells program. We recently signed a contract with Ricoh, which is actually, I believe, the largest copier company in the world. We brought them into the ShopWells program, and this would be only for our Wisconsin congregations and schools, because Ricoh has won for many years now, the Wisconsin state contract. So all state agencies and schools in Wisconsin are under this Ricoh contract. We were able to piggyback on that and get extremely low pricing. So if you go to shopwells.net, if you're interested in a copier, Ricoh has provided us some great pricing, probably lower than you can get any place else on any other kind of copier. So, and it's actually not all of Wisconsin, but most counties in Wisconsin are part of this deal. So if you're in the copier market, check out the Ricoh promotion on shopwells.net. And for those that are not in Wisconsin, we still have a great relationship with OSA Imagistics for good deals on copiers there, too, if you're out of Wisconsin. So shopwells.net. And obviously, ShopWells has a bunch of other stuff. And maybe keep that in mind in your Christmas shopping. If you're looking for almost anything in technology, you can get a good deal on that at Wells Discounted Prices, shopwells.net.
Love that collective buying power. That's
right.
Good stuff.
The more congregation schools and Wells individuals are eligible to do this too, the more we can get in, the more leverage we have over some of these companies, and that's a good thing for Wells, because then we're increasing that buying power, as you mentioned. So,
right.
Community feedback. Anybody communicating with us this week?
Yeah, actually, I had a couple of really cool things I wanted to share with our listeners today. First of all, we had a follow-up email from John Simonson. You'll remember John was our interview last week, and he really shared some great information about search engine optimization. And almost as soon as the interview was published, we heard from John, and he said, just today, Google released something new. It's a search engine optimization starter guide. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make sure and include a link in our show notes to that starter guide. I'm sure there's some great information there for getting your website featured in Google, you know, as optimally as possible. Mm-hmm. And then we also heard from Pastor Paul Jansen. He's at Holy Scripture in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he's doing something really cool on his website. He's an iGoogle user, and for those of you that aren't familiar with iGoogle is basically a personal homepage that you can craft to have whatever you want on it, different RSS feeds and other news items and things like that, so that your homepage on the internet is specifically for you. And in playing with his iGoogle homepage, Pastor Jansen added an RSS feed to his sermon series that's published on his church website. And in the course of doing that, he figured out that he could create a really cool Google button and put that on his church website so other people could add his sermon series to their iGoogle page. Now, hopefully you followed all of that, but basically, if you go to Holy Scripture's website, and I'll include a link in the show notes, what you're going to see there is a Google Gadget button that says add the sermons to your iGoogle homepage. And with one click, you can add those sermons. And in addition, you could do something similar on your website. You could create this iGoogle button to put on your website so that people could put it on their iGoogle homepage.
Cool.
Very cool technique. He was really excited about it. And, you know, to create it for yourself is one thing, but to be able to share it and, you know, Google giving you that power to share that is a really neat feature.
Just another one of those channels that we were talking about before. Whatever we can do to reach as many people as possible, why not? It doesn't. It costs you zero dollars.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit of time, and with tools like this, it's becoming easier and easier just to click, make a couple clicks, and again, you're done. So why not?
Right.
Sally, that's about all the time we have for this week. I wanted to let our listeners know what is coming up next week on the Wells Tech podcast. And I'm looking forward to this one. We're going to talk about CMSs. That stands for Content Management Systems. Final Web is a content management system of sorts, but there are three others that we're going to talk about. If Final Web isn't kind of your cup of tea, there are three open source kind of kingpins, you know, within the CMS market that cost you nothing other than, you know, trying to find server space. So if you're a little bit more technical and you want to do a little bit more with your website and you want a little bit more creativity and freedom, three of those are WordPress, Joomla, and Drupal. We've asked the Wells.net webmaster and manager of web services here at Wells, Julie Duran, to come on the show because she has experience both with WordPress and with Drupal. And I'm going to share a little bit of what I know about Joomla as well. So if you're interested in content management systems, we're going to talk about the why, too. Why can't I just use FrontPage or Dreamweaver or Go Live or some of those other tools? Why would I want a CMS? Why would I need a CMS? Or why does my church and school need it? We're going to tell you why. So tune in next week for that discussion with Julie Duran on CMSs.
Looking forward to that.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Finally, let's leave with the music of Mike Wessendorf and his song Climb the Mountain from the album by the same name. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Finish lines and far away. The road keeps going on and on till it seems to touch the sky. Will I have the strength to climb? And all I really want is to climb above the clouds, to rise above the mess when my life has been dragged down, to move beyond these childish ways into your shining light. Oh, give me the strength to climb. Climb the mountain higher up. In the guiding hands of Jesus, you will see him lift you up. This life is certain, but we know for sure. Of your life, turn to me in times of strife. I am always by your side. What I really want is for you to trust my grace, to put aside foolish pride, to stand and run the race, to look to me in every need, eternal life supply. I will give you. It's right.